This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I seem to recall a fable by Aesop, in which there was once a fox that addressed a crow which was sat way up in a tree. The bird had a large lump of cheese in its beak. The fox flattered the vain bird, praising her glossy feathers and her bright eyes, and then he went on to say, "I feel sure your voice must surpass that of other birds. Let me hear but one song from you, that I may greet you as the queen of birds." But the minute the proud crow opened up its beak to sing, it dropped the cheese, and it fell to the ground where the fox snatched it up and ran quickly away. The fox had summed the situation up well, and he knew what he was doing. Jesus read his own situation well too, and he knew what he was doing when he rode into the holy city of Jerusalem on the day we now call Palm Sunday. He would have been well aware of the ancient prophecies concerning the Messiah, about how he would suffer and die. And he would have seen around him images from these prophecies, the palms, the cloaks beneath his feet, the shouts, the praises, the royal hymns of greeting. He was also aware of the animosity of the powerful people all around him, looking on who wanted rid of him. He would have known that this was the moment, this holy city was the place, and here death was waiting for him.
Hail, true body, born of Mary, by a wondrous virgin birth, thou who on the cross wast offered to redeem the sons of earth, thou who side became a fountain, pouring forth thy precious blood. Give us now and at our dying thine own self to be. Jesus, blessed Mary's son.
Matthew tells us that Jesus had prepared for this particular day in advance, having sent his disciples ahead to collect a donkey and her foal for him. Many watched him ride humbly into the city. The Pharisees and the scribes would have been well aware that Jesus was enacting words of one of the ancient prophets, Zechariah, who prophesied, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Mark and Luke make mention that the donkey Jesus rode upon had never been ridden before, and this brought with it a symbolism that people may not have realized. Because we read in Scripture that the ancient Ark of the Covenant, which held the Ten Commandments, was so sacred it had to be carried on a new cart, pulled by cows that had never been yoked. It was later carried by priests carrying special poles. Also, tradition held that red heifers used in cleansing ceremonies had to be those that had never carried a yoke on their backs. In other words, only what was pure could bear up sacred things. So here, in Jerusalem, was a beast of burden entering the city, carrying one who was unique and sacred, a holy treasure.
Lift up your heads, O your gates, swing wide you everlasting doors. Lift up your heads, O you gates, swing. you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in. Lift up your heads, oh you gates, swing wide you everlasting doors. Lift up your heads, oh you gates, swing wide you everlasting doors. That the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in. Up from the dead he ascends, through every rank of heavenly power.
That was Lift Up Your Heads, All Ye Gates, written by Graeme Kendrick. Jesus couldn't have chosen a more dramatic moment for his entry into Jerusalem, for this was no ordinary day. Thousands of pilgrims from all over the known world had gathered there for their most important festival, the Passover, a feast which celebrated the freedom of their ancestors from slavery as Hebrew slaves in Egypt at the time of Moses. The Hebrews had all been instructed by Moses to daub the blood of a lamb around their doorposts for protection against the angel of death, which was about to pass over their own houses on its way to destroy the firstborn in every Egyptian home. Jesus too was about to become such a sacrificial lamb, for his blood would soon be spilled too, to save the people from sin and death. The words of Isaiah the prophet would soon be fulfilled, which had been written hundreds of years before, which had said, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Here we have Anthem Light singing the Blood Medley.
All victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Oh, come on.
Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood?
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments white as snow? White and snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Said nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood of the Lamb.
He sought me and bought me
with nothing but the blood of Jesus.
According to the Gospel of John, an astonishing miracle had just taken place. Jesus had raised a man called Lazarus from the dead. This man had been in the tomb for 4 days. This miracle had been reported in the city, No wonder all eyes were upon Jesus as he rode into the city. The people were hailing him as their king. They threw their cloaks on the road before him out of honour and respect, much the same as their forebears had done to a man called Jehu in the 9th century BC, who'd been anointed as king by the prophet Elisha to replace a very wicked king called Ahab. And when this was known by Jehu's friends and comrades, they at once threw their cloaks before him where he walked, to recognise him as the new king. Talk about history repeating itself. The people watching also rushed to wave palm branches and celebrate Jesus' arrival. It was exactly what people had done almost 200 years before, when a man called Judas Maccabeus entered the city, having fought off the occupying force of Greeks who had done every evil thing they could to desecrate the temple and occupy the city. He had restored the city and cleansed the temple. So what was the first act of Jesus when he arrived in the city? It was to cleanse the temple. In the next song, Make Way, also by Graham Kendrick, he captures the excitement of the people lining the route to welcome their king. Make way, make way.
Make way, make way.
Make way, make way.
For the King of Kings.
For the King of Kings.
Make way, make way.
Make way, make way.
For the King of Kings.
For the King of Kings.
Make way, make way for Christ the King. King's splendor arise. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. Make way for the King of Kings. Make way, make way, and let his kingdom in. He comes the broken hearts to heal, the prisoners to free. The deaf shall hear, the lame shall dance, the blind shall see.
Religious leaders must have both hated and feared Jesus. They certainly did not see him as God's anointed one, but they could see that his presence in the city might very well incite a riot, rendering them helpless to maintain peace with the Roman occupiers. When Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem, he did not come as a warrior king seeking to raise an army, or he would have chosen to ride a war horse. No, this was very low key. He rode in on a beast of burden. He came in peace. But the people had many expectations of Jesus. They hailed him that day as Messiah and King. To them, he was someone who spoke words of God to their hearts. He stirred them up with his great wisdom. He healed the sick, commanded demons to depart, and was a worker of miracles. And now he could even raise the dead. They had decided that Jesus was surely their King, who would lead them to victory, destroying Roman rule and restoring the kingdom of their ancestor David. Which is why they began to sing royal hymns. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And now from Jesus Christ Superstar Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical comes the song Hosanna.
Hosanna,
rabble to be quiet. We anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell them all who sing your song that they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse.
Nothing can be done to stop the shouting. If every tongue was still, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing. Sing out for yourselves, for you are blessed. There is not one of you who cannot win the kingdom. The slow, the suffering, the quick, the dead.
Yet another prophet, Malachi, spoke words which seemed to be coming true, which said, "Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple." The people were seeing with their own eyes a king coming to save and rescue them, cleanse and restore them, yet not in the way they imagined. God had other plans to bring about a different kind of rescue, the saving of hearts and souls, and only the blood of a perfect lamb could break down the curse of our disobedience and wash us clean. God had made it clear from the beginning of time that the people's sin would lead to death. The cross of Jesus became a bridge for us to walk over to be at one with God again and have new life and forgiveness. By the end of that week, Jesus had been betrayed and was crucified, but many more prophecies were about to be fulfilled in the process. All this had to happen as predicted, like some magnificent jigsaw descending perfectly through time and space, each colourful piece falling perfectly into its place.
I love you.
That was King's College Choir, Cambridge, singing Ride On, Ride On. The cross became a curious paradox, that is to say, a set of contradictions. David Watson, a famous preacher and evangelist, put it this way. The cross is a picture of violence, yet the key to peace. A picture of suffering, yet the key to healing. A picture of death, yet the key to life. A picture of utter weakness, yet the key to power. A picture of capital punishment, yet the key to mercy and forgiveness. A picture of vicious hatred, yet the key to love. A picture of supreme shame, yet the Christian's supreme boast, the key to everything, really. I don't think I've ever played an Elvis Presley song before on my programme. This one is The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
I'd like to sing a Pete Scott song to close our programme today, entitled Come to Calvary. Many people all over the world at present are carrying their own unique cross to Calvary by struggling for justice, standing alongside the needy and the downtrodden, trying to open blind eyes and deaf ears, even coping with illness. They're travelling a similar road to the one Jesus did then. He has challenged each one of us too to make a difference in his world, saying to his followers, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Are we willing to go with him into the city? Thank you so much for staying tuned to our Palm Sunday broadcast this morning, and every blessing to all of you out there who have your own cross to bear. May God lift you up in your trials and in your pain, and bring you his peace and comfort this day. It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and Andrew, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
My father chose to fire an arrow at a piece of dust a world away. The way is long, the road is narrow, and we are just, oh, so we say. Come to Calvary, carry this for me. See truth in pain, gain in loss. come to Calvary. Kiss the cross. I am a child who knows no hatred, who sees a cruel place and wonders why the gate is closed, where love has waited so many centuries only to die. Come to Calvary, carry this for me. See truth in pain, gain in loss. Come to Calvary, kiss the cross. I am the poor who go unaided. Strives alone, who looks for food, sees wealth paraded, who looks for charity and finds a stone. Come to Calvary, carry the